Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, good morning. All things legal. Got Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico on the line. Good morning, Albert.
Good morning, Doug. How are you? Yeah,
good. You give us a call at 260-1870. We still don't have the text up. We will have it up soon since we're broadcasting remotely. A lot of people are working remotely. Some people aren't. We're not. We're open. But a lot of people working remotely, which I was going to talk about later. In the show about some of the new legal issues that we have for since COVID-19, it's sort of changed. It's changed things. A few things have changed for the better. Some things are hopefully just temporary and gets back to normal. And we all start living again. We only have one life, so we have to live it. Albert, we got a caller. We got Phil's on the line. He's got a refinance question. Hey, Phil, you on All Things Legal with Doug Cinceri and Albert Nico.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you, Phil. What you got for us?
Okay, I got it on speakerphone. That's why I asked.
Good.
I don't know if y'all remember, a couple of years, it's been quite a few years, I had a problem with a black driver's license, and y'all gave me some information. I fought it, and I won, okay?
You did. You won.
So this is what I'm talking about now.
You can't beat the price for the advice either, right?
I'm telling you, boys, good for me.
All right, what you have,
Bill? Here's my deal. I refinanced my condo, and naturally the condo has a homeowners association. As you know, the title company calls up the condo and asks if I owe any money. And the girl sends them an invoice, which makes no sense. And she says, I owe them $1,810. And so the invoices have months saying that I didn't pay my homeowner's dues and late fees. Well, I go to the bank. I check it on my online banking. I go to the bank. I get copies of the canceled checks where it was deposited into the HOA account. I send them to the girl who takes care of that here at the condo. The closing attorney calls her up and says, look, the man has receipts right here. When I go to that closing, she gave me no credit for none of the bills that I paid. So I'm going to go to the Justice of the Peace and bring it in front of the Justice of the Peace. And what will happen is, it naturally, I have the proof. And you notice nothing else matters but proof to an attorney or a law or a judge. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to win a judgment. I'm going to go put a lien against the condo. Is there any chance of me getting my money?
I think there's a lot of ways that you could deal with this. If you get a judgment, I think you'd have a right, at the very least, to offset your future condo fees on the judgment. In other words, at the very least, offset it. So, for example, if your condo's fees were $50, $75 a month or something like that, you could count it as a credit, because you're going to continue to live at the condo, right?
Well, you know, I've been wanting to get out of here for the longest, but, after the refund, I got to stay here 6 months. So, anyway,
yes. Okay.
Eventually I'm going to sell the place. But yeah, my okay. point is, do I ask the justice of the peace for that?
No. What you'll have to do is you'll have to get a judgment. And then after you get the judgment, if you get a judgment, after the judgment, time delays pass where they can't appeal it, you can ask for a judgment debtor rule. And in the judgment debtor rule, you can find out where all the bank accounts are from the for the homeowners association. And you should have that right now, because I think when you cash your check, it will reflect where the check was cashed. And then you could technically seize any proceeds from the condo association bank account to satisfy your judgment. Now, that's a little complicated for a layperson to do, but that you would have that right to do that.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm kind of lucky in a way. There's a young lady that lives across from me. She happens to be an attorney, and I talked to her about it the other day. She says, give me this paperwork. She wants to see it. And I got it. You know, I got my case written up already for the justice of the peace, so I'm just going to give it to this attorney and have her look at it, because my understanding is my attorney's fees, if I go and get the judgment and I ask for the attorney fees, they have to pay the attorney fees also.
Well, I think you would have to look in your condo association rules, because they may not – usually you can get attorney's fees if it's provided by by law. Certain laws provide if you prevail in a particular case, you'll get attorney's fees. Or if there's a contract that's signed that's saying the loser pays. Now, your condominium association bylaws or declarations may make reference if there's some type of breach, that there would be attorney's fees. So I would look at that. You may or may not have the opportunity to get attorney's fees. You would definitely get court costs back if you prevail.
Okay. Now, what was that again? You said a judgment dealer account?
A judge. Well, if you win a judgment against the justice of peace, and after the time delays pass for an appeal, you can do a judgment debtor rule, D-E-B-T-O-R
rule.
Yes.
Okay, now, my son is the mortgage broker who got me my refinance.
Uh-huh.
He tells me that if somebody goes to buy a condo in here, the title company will look and see if there's any liens against the homeowners association.
Right.
And if there is, they most probably won't finance a condo sale in here.
Well, what they could do is they could pay. One of your options, if you want to go on with the refinancing, is to pay.
I already done it. The refinance was done, sir.
So you paid the lien, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You paid it under protest. Because technically.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, you paid it under protest. So, I mean, so you've had this, you've had the sale. So, I mean, you've had the refinance, so the title's clear. Now, the question
Correct.
Is getting your money back.
Right, that's my problem.
And so I'm just trying to give you a pragmatic solution, because a lot of times the solutions that you have, you might be spending a dollar to recover 50 cents, and even though you have, you're correct. What my thought would be, is you could, in the future, don't pay your condo fees and take a credit. Okay, take a credit on.
Do I have to get permission from the condo association to do
well,
that?
When you get to judgment.
Okay. No, I figured I wanted to call y'all. Y'all pretty straight with everybody, so I said, let me give you guys a chance.
Let me ask you something. Is there anything like personal happening between you and the condo association? Is there like, it sounds like something's going on below the waterline.
It's harassment. It's total harassment.
Why would they be harassing you? I guess is the question. What would be happening?
To be perfectly honest, I can't answer that.
Yeah.
She wrote me a certified letter last week saying I can't use none of the amenities in the condo complex.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It seems like it's personal. Now, is she the president of the condo association?
No, sir. She just runs the place.
She's the property manager.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I have a suggestion for you. Okay.
Okay.
She probably has a boss. Okay.
And oh, she has probably, a board. We have a board.
No. But if she's a property manager, she probably doesn't own the property management company, or does she?
No. She just works for the condo association.
Okay. So she. Okay. Is she a resident?
No, ma'am. No, sir. No, sir.
Okay, so she probably works for a property management company, right?
No, sir.
No?
She works for the condo association.
Yeah, but the condo association probably hired her company, right?
No, sir. There is no company. They hired her. They had they ran them off, and she got the job.
Okay, so she individually. Okay, well then, if she had a boss, I would say, or a supervisor, I'd say go to her and try to go over her head with it and try to resolve the problem. All right.
Well, I'm going to ask you one more question. I know you have a lot of people calling. The Justice of the Peace told me, she gave me the name of the board president. That's who I'm sending the registered letter to, showing that I'm filing suit against them. And my question is, now, if I go into a store and I steal a computer, say, I'm guilty of stealing, correct?
Yes.
Okay. If they steal my money, are they guilty of stealing?
Well, I understand your general principle. It's a little bit of apples and oranges. But let me tell you this. Why don't you have a conversation with the board president? Bring all your proof that you paid. Tell him everything that's occurred. And see if he could intervene and resolve the problem. Just stay calm. Be very systematic as to what you're telling him. Bring all the checks. Explain to him everything that happened. And you want to solve your problem. And if you can solve your problem without going to court, I often say, when you go to court, the winner is whoever loses the least. And so what you want to do is maybe have a conversation with the board president and, show him everything that's occurred and ask him to help and intervene and help solve the problem. All right,
okay.
My man?
Okay.
Well, man, good luck to you. That's tough. All right, let's go to break. Doug Santeri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Santeri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers. Let's go to phone lines. Let's go to John. John, we've got about 2 minutes, and if we need to take you over the break, we'll do it. Hey, John, what you have for us?
How you doing? I have a word. I got hurt on the job, and I think you can only, go after the employer if they don't pay your wages, your medical bills, and if you have a total disability.
Well, workers' comp's a little different. You don't get pain and suffering damages. What you can get is the payment of the medical bills and 2/3 of your weekly wage up to a maximum, which is I'll look it up for you in a second. But
$635.
There you go. There you go. You can send me the bill. And so $635. So that's the really only damages. There's limited exceptions to that. If it was an intentional act where somebody, a fight or something like that, where there was an intentional act in connection with this injury, or if there was a gross disregard of any safety procedure that was not implemented. But for the most part, that's all
you can do.
Yes, sir.
Where does the total disability come in? Because I have a total disability.
Well,
I had
there's something called permanent total disability and there's supplemental earnings benefits. And those are the two benefits. Well, we're going to go to a break in about a minute or so, but if you want to hold on, I could give you an explanation as to the type of relief that you would be entitled to. But first of all, while you're getting better, you're entitled to something called TTD, temporary total disability. Okay. And that's how the benefit is classified or labeled as you are improving. But once you reach something called MMI, maximum medical improvement, then there's two directions you could basically go. And there's a couple of other directions, but for purposes of our discussion, just two. But we'll talk about that after a CBS News update. So, John, just hold on, and I'll tell you what happens after temporary total disability. So we're going to a CBS News update. We'll be back on All Things Legal in about 2 minutes, and stay tuned. And, John, you say, hang on. Hey, we're back. Doug Santeri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers. We got John on the line. We're giving him explanation on his workers' comp payments after he would reach temporary or he reaches maximum medical improvement. John, what kind of injury do you have?
I have a leg injury. I've already did the MMI study, and
okay.
They gave me a low extremity impairment of 24%, a whole impairment of 10%.
Okay, you're not going to be permanently totally disabled under that. What you're going to do is you're going to, your benefit would be entitled, or you're entitled to SEB, which is Supplemental Earnings Benefits, which means what they're going to do is that you're going to go through vocational rehabilitation. You're going to have a vocational rehabilitation counselor find out what type of jobs you can do given your impairment. And, you know, it's jobs that would involve, that would not conflict with the restrictions. Okay. Okay. And then what would, yes?
They told me I can only do sedentary duty.
Sedentary duty, like security guard or desk job, basically.
Right.
What they're going to do is they're going to take that wage of sedentary duty, which is light duty, and compare that to your wage before. And if there's a formula to determine the difference, and once they that difference you would be entitled to. So in other words, and it's a formula, and I can't. It would take a little while to do it over the radio, but basically, if you're making $15 an hour before the accident, and now you make 10, okay,
right,
you would basically be paid a percentage of the difference under supplemental earnings benefits. And you could get that benefit up to 10 years in combination with your TTD or your temporary total disability. After that time, the benefit goes away.
Where does the disability come from, the workman's comp or Social Security?
The disability, well, the context that you're using it in is disability is a term that is labeled by the physician stating the level of impairment of your leg. So you're saying that there's a level of impairment if your lower extremity is 20% and whole body 10%. So it's to it's a determination by a doctor to give a understanding to third parties, to the court or whoever, the claims adjuster for workers' comp, as to what's the nature and extent of your injury, and also in trying to determine a new job for you, what restrictions you have and which kind of activities you could perform. Now, so the workers' comp disability is different than your SSDI disability. That's a different deal. That's a different proceeding. So for purposes of workers' comp, what you're going to get is you'll get how many years, when did the accident occur?
18.
So basically you'd be entitled to SEB benefits until 2028. If there's a difference between your salary or your earnings prior to the accident and now, based on the impairment that you have with your leg. So you would be entitled to supplemental earnings benefits, and that'll go to 2028, provided that your earning potential now due to your injury is less than what it was prior to the accident.
Oh, it's significant.
Yeah. So then that's is a formula for that. And it's you just plug in the numbers and the number comes out, and that's what you'd be entitled to monthly. And also what you have to do is write a certification every month saying this is how much you earned. So in that calculation of supplemental earnings benefits, you'll have to submit that to the workers' comp carrier. What they do sometimes is after they'll settle the case out in a lump sum settlement, some workers' comp insurers want to say, look, instead of collecting your benefits over this term of 28 years, sometimes they'll negotiate a lump sum settlement. And you can get the lump sum settlement, and after you get that, you go back to work.
Right. Yeah, because if I'm where I'm at, I'm tired of dealing with them because they're not
well, I think from the insurance company's perspective, they would like to maybe close out the file, and they're willing to pay some money up front to close it out based on the injuries and the SEB that's due. They do a little calculation. They make determine what the present value of your case is, and they'll make an offer in that area. So sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you can make the settlement and keep your medicals open. Sometimes they'll say, no, whatever we pay you, your medicals or include it in the settlement. So that's a decision you'd have to make if the time arises.
Right. Well, I'm going to get your number, and maybe I might see.
All right. Well, sounds good. Thanks for the call. All right. Let's go to break. Doug Cesare, Albert and Eagle, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We've got Michael on the phone. Hey, Michael, you on all things legal, Doug Sinceri, and Albert Nico.
Yes, sir. I'm back.
What you got, Michael?
Well, I had a deal with a membership with Massage Envy, and the place closed in Harvard, Louisiana. All of a sudden, it didn't give us a warning or anything. And I had like 25 to 30 payments I had to pay in advance for my fiance, and I had like five of mine, and I was using them, but she wasn't using hers as fast as I was. And I tried in vain to try to get in touch with him to reimburse me my money, and I even tried to get with the headquarters, and I got no response.
Albert?
I had a very difficult time hearing the call.
Okay, yeah. Well, basically it's this. It's Massage Envy. They paid in advance for a massage and having a hard time trying to get the money back. There's a couple of things you got to look at. Is first of all, if is it still in business, the Massage Envy, or are they out of business?
The corporation is in business, but I come to find out they're individually owned.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Is this individually owned company, or are they closed up?
Yeah, they closed with no warning, yeah.
Okay. If the company, you may have a problem in the sense that if the company is shut down and it's under, I'm sure it's under an LLC or some type of corporation, you're definitely entitled to a refund. If they don't perform that service. But the problem is, if you don't, if you file a claim against them and have a judgment with maybe the justice of the peace to get your money back, they may not have assets to pay you back. In other words,
Have you tried going to any of the other locations?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. I think Massage Envy will honor those.
The other locations don't honor that because they're all individually owned. I've tried to go to different ones in different states than that I was a member, and I had to pay because I wasn't a member of that particular Massage Envy, and I was a member, but not for them. So I had to pay to get the massage in a different state.
So this was a membership program, not a gift certificate.
Yes, the membership.
Okay, I got you.
Okay.
All right. Well,
just have to look at your contract. If you had a membership agreement, it might just say that this is only good for this location and no other location. And if that's the case, you know, you bought something and they're out of business. So I don't think there's a whole lot else you can do at that point.
Well, when I got it, they made it seem like you could take the Massage Envy membership anywhere and use it. And, I found out that wasn't the case.
Does it say you got to
read that contract.
So it does say that in the contract, though. It's only for that particular location.
It just sounds like I got screwed.
Yeah. That's part of the reality of the last 3 months is a lot of probably the biggest casualty.
This happened over a year ago. This didn't happen just 3 months ago.
When did they close or get out?
It's probably been almost 2 years, man.
Oh, 2 years? Oh, yeah. Well, if they haven't reopened, they're individually owned, and if your membership's only for that particular location, you probably don't have any viable recourse, unfortunately. The only way you would possibly do it, and I don't think they have done it, is if the company was owned as a sole proprietor and not under a limited liability company or a corporation. Because if you have a corporation or a limited liability company, then your liability is only within the assets of that LLC. And if the LLC has no assets, then you have nothing to satisfy your judgment. The only way I would say it would be possibly liability is if they owned it as a sole proprietorship without corporate protection, then they would be personally liable. But it probably didn't happen that way. but it might be worth checking out. What I would, you know.
How would I go about checking it out?
I would get the name of the owner and put her name, his or her name, in the Secretary of State website and see if any corporations pop up. You have to do it with a little investigation, but or you could even maybe contact the home office at Massage Envy and find out.
They don't answer back. I mean, I've done all the stuff trying to get an answer to why I couldn't get reimbursed.
Well,
and I haven't got no response.
You could possibly do this by a process of elimination. If the owner is not in the Secretary of State website as owning a corporation, then possibly it is a sole proprietorship. If they're, you know, because they would have, if it was a company, it would be in have been enlisted in the Secretary of State website. So you might have to do that by the process of elimination. But it sounds like more likely than not that you probably have little recourse in this particular situation to get your money back.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm not the only one that got messed over with with this particular owner.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty sad they run business like that.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, sorry I didn't give you better news, Michael. Wish best of luck and stay safe. Let's go to a break. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. Albert, you there?
I'm here.
Yeah. You know, sort of a couple of the calls were about sort of COVID-related type of issues. I mean, you have businesses. Like, it's common if you belong to a small health club and you paid up front or you might have continued to be charged while they're, the gym wasn't closed. But there's several new sort of interesting fact scenarios that occur since COVID has come on the scene 3 or 4 months ago, and that's one of them. I have one for you. We had a workers' comp issue. A lot of people working home remotely, isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Well, what happens is this. If you're working home remotely, workers' comp says if you get injured in the course and scope of your employment, you're entitled to benefits. So if someone's working remotely and they're working in their study and they get up off their chair and trip over a wire, is that workers' comp or not?
I think it is.
Yeah. Well,
I think it certainly is.
And so,
yeah, I mean, there was going to be a lot of issues like that coming up because, you know, you're working from home. You are in the course and scope of your employment. The location doesn't really matter as long as you're in course and scope. And so, you know, now if you were going to have lunch, maybe not. Because, in the law, if you're heading to lunch, you're not in the first course and scope of your employment. Unless you're out of town whatever. But, I mean, if I check out and I leave and I go to lunch and I get in a car accident, I'm not in the course and scope of my employment. If you're walking into the kitchen and you're working from home to have lunch and you burn yourself on a pot, you wouldn't be. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot of it's an interesting point.
Well, yeah, I guess here's another thing is if you're working from home and you get up and you trip over a baby Charlie toy. That was left on the floor. I mean, you're going to have sort of these interesting type work scenarios. But, I mean, there's a lot of different other issues that, is occurring. And maybe in drafting future contracts, these will be contemplated. But, you know, how they're dealing with, you know, refunds for canceled events and services. We're dealing with weddings.
Here's another thing we're dealing with. We can't get a lawyer served, right? Because normally you could just serve the lawyer's secretary with a motion or whatever. Well, they're working remotely. So now we got to try to go serve them from their home. And, you know, if the lawyer really wants to be a jerk, and not answer the door.
Wait. You're talking about lawyers being a jerk? Has that, I've never heard that before. I've never heard anyone ever say a negative thing about a lawyer. I never even heard a lawyer joke. I don't know why anybody would do that. Think that, you know.
But I mean,
I digress.
You know, so we're having a situation where the lawyer won't accept service for a hearing date. So now we're going to have to get a special process server to serve a lawyer. We're not serving him individually. We're serving him as attorney of record. And so it's probably something the courts or maybe even the Supreme Court might have to step in on and say, hey, look, you know, if they drop something off on your doorstep and that's your home, that's considered valid service. I don't know, something along those lines. I just, you know, it's something that's cropped up, and a lot of these things are cropping up more and more.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of adjustments that are made, but I'm still, you want to get the lawyer's name so we could tell him we're coming after him? We're going to bang on his door. Let's get his name. No, we're just kidding. So we'll talk a little bit about after the first hour. We got to go to national news and local news. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. But we'll talk about some of the unique legal issues that have arose from the last 3 months from COVID. You know, everything changes. So, you know, companies, unfortunately, have to adapt or die. And, you know, we all have to sort of adapt to new things and figure out how to deal with it. So we'll talk about some of the, I guess, legal trends that have cropped up that weren't maybe necessarily there prior to COVID-19 in our second hour. So stay tuned for our...
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.